well as the evening that Krishna left Vrindavan to enrich and deepen and intensify the Vrijabhasa's constant absorption in his pastimes, to the extent that they could no longer discriminate between his prakat lila and aprakat, whether he was actually in Vrindavan or absent from Vrindavan. When Krishna left with Akrura, he promised he would be back the next day, or at latest the day after. And as the years rolled by, and he was receiving messages that the Vrijabhasas could not sustain their lives without his return, he sent Uddhava to deliver his message. There was a series of general messages and complemented by individual personal messages for each of the Vrijabhasas. When Uddhava, he didn't want to return to Mathura because he realized that on the pretext of him delivering a message to the Vrijabhasas, Krishna was actually arranging for him to receive a message about pure love beyond anything that he had ever conceived. And he didn't even want to go back to Mathura. But as a service to Krishna, he must. And to fulfill his promise to the Vrijabhasas that he would bring Krishna back after spending months at Radhakund, he returned to Mathura and informed Krishna the plight of the Vrijabhasas. And Uddhava's pleading glance implored Krishna that you promised you would return, and I promised them . As Krishna was seated at his table in his palace in Mathura, a table which was covered with letters that were smeared from the tears of his eyes, which he had written to the Vrijabhasas, but could not properly express his heart enough to send them. And then one day he heard large wings. And he looked out at his perch outside the window where his pet peacock would roost. And he saw a beautiful white swan landing on that perch. And the swan was looking in the window. Is this the person that was sent to me? And Krishna looked at the swan and he was wondering, is this some omen or some celestial being or some form of deity? And the swan folded his wings, bowed down, and he introduced himself. I am a messenger from the best friend of the princess of Vrindavan. And with that introduction, Krishna also folded his palms and bowed down before the swan, eager to hear his message. And the swan explained that he was approached by Lalita Devi, who, in a mood of anger, due to the anguish of her best friend, started talking to him, and the swan said, "You can't blame her for speaking to a bird in her condition." And she implored me to come and reveal to you the condition of the Vrijavasis. After the swan completed his introduction, followed by Lalita's introduction, he got to the actual message. He said, Do you remember the name Radha?" And Krishna was so surprised, because that was the name that sustained his life during his years in Mathura. And then he spoke that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita while dancing in the circle of the Rasa Lila. He stole Srimati's heart. "Why then are you now so indifferent to her? She is lying on the ground before me, unconscious, absorbed in your pastimes. I will place the cotton swab beneath her nose, and if she is still living, I will chastise her." It was such an intense description of the condition of the Vrijavasis that Krishna concluded that he had to return, and he had to do it soon, because Kamsa's wives, who were Jarasandha's daughters, had returned to their father, and he became incensed at the murder of his son-in-law and the condition of his daughters. And word was already reaching Mathura that he was amassing a huge army to attack with the intent of exterminating the Jadu dynasty. And Krishna knew he wouldn't do it only once, but 17 times, each time with a larger army. And Krishna's main concern is if he attacks Mathura, which was heavily fortified by the Jadus, he would also attack Braj, where there was no defense force. And Krishna's main concern is that he knew he would soon have to relocate the Jadus to an island in the sea, and if the Vrijavasis heard that Krishna had relocated to Dwarka, they would give up all hope of living. If he wouldn't even visit from nearby Mathura, they would have no hope if he went to Dwarka. So he told Uddhava, "We will go." And Balaram's angelic face just beamed with joy. And they mounted the chariot and proceeded toward Braj. And it was the cows who first spotted two moon-like personalities moving across the ridge. And they were watching. Did they dare to believe that Gopal had returned? Then when the breeze changed direction and the cows caught the fragrance, which was unmistakably their Gopal, they ran. And they surrounded the chariot, was rocking back and forth, And Krishna got down and expanded to be at the side of each and every cap as he spoke to them all. Did you miss me as much as I missed you? And all in unison, I said, The cowherd boys were watching the cows surrounding this chariot, and they did not dare to believe, because it would mean investing all their hopes that Krishna has come back to them. So Sri Dama was just stunned, watching, lifeless. So Krishna first ran to Sri Dama and took him by the shoulders. And Sri Dama, it is me. I'm back. And Sri Dama still couldn't believe it. So he embraced him to his chest. And when he heard and felt Gopal's heart beating against his own chest, he realized he is back. And he began singing and dancing and playing his flute, dancing all around. Gopal has returned. Uddhava is true to his word. Uddhava is such a great hero. Uddhava is a true saint because he has brought Gopal back to Vrindavan. And all the cowherd boys began singing and dancing and playing their flutes and buffalo horns. And then Krishna sent Uddhava to the palace where Nanda and Yashoda, when they heard the message, their hearts began throbbing. And then Krishna made his way. And Nanda and Yashoda were so stunned to see Krishna back again, because he appeared more beautiful than he had ever before, because their eyes were anointed with even richer love because of the absence that had made their hearts grow fonder. But they still found it difficult to believe that Krishna is back until he fell at their lotus feet and bathed them with his tears, at which point Mother Yashoda embraced Gopal and bathed him with her tears and her milk. And then Nanda, he embraced Gopal, but then he couldn't believe that he was back, so he would hold him at arm's length and look. And then he would embrace him again, and he couldn't believe, and he'd hold him out again and look. And all he could say is, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Uddhava was observing how Krishna was so inseparable from Mother Yashoda. When the Vrijabhasis offered arti and chanted his holy name, they had to offer to Krishna and Mother Yashoda. Inseparable. Mother Yashoda fed Gopal and Uddhava to her heart's content. And there was a great festival of love with kissing and dancing and exchanges that continued late into the night. And when Lalita Devi told the princess that Krishna has returned and Srimati wanted to run and meet him, Lalita held her back and said, he made you wait this long. Now you have to wait until he comes to you. So after Mother Yashoda put Krishna to bed, and he pretended to sleep, and then when she softly closed the door, he jumped out the window and ran to the forest. And when she saw him coming, this is this incident described in Nectar of Devotion, she cursed the ecstatic symptoms that prevented her from properly receiving Krishna. Her limbs were stunned in ecstasy, her eyes flooded with tears, and her voice choked up. She could not so much as say his name. She had been contemplating all along what to say to him. Should she say that, "Why did you stay away for so long?" But that's too light. "I cannot live without you." That's too heavy. "You must come back, but that places him under my control." So she didn't even know how to receive him. Finally, she just said, "How could you have stayed away for so long?" And Krishna could not even respond. It was only the soft patter of his tears upon her feet that expressed his feelings. So then he began repeating the same messages he had sent with Uddhava, explaining how separation from me is impossible at any time or any place because I'm all-pervading. That did not help, because the gopis were thinking, is this an introduction to his leaving us again? Why is he explaining? And they even asked him, "Why bother telling us what everybody knows, that you're the all-pervading super soul? And who cares if you're God?" But they came to realize later that within that message was a very personal note to each and every devotee, that while the jnanis come to know the aprakat form of Krishna as the all-pervading super soul, and the yogis know him. No, the yogis know him as super soul, the jnanis as Brahman. But the devotees see the form of Shyamasundar everywhere in their heart of hearts. But that was enough philosophy, because what needed to be expressed was beyond what words could convey. And Krishna stepped into the assembly of the center of the gopis, assumed his threefold bending form, played upon his flute, and Rasa Lila resumed and continued every night through the month of Kartik until tonight, when the Rasa Lila unfolded according to its usual pattern. Krishna was dancing. He stole away Srimati Radharani. He left her also. The gopis assemble on the bank of Jamuna, chanting his holy names. He reappears. They accuse him of being ungrateful and hard-hearted. And he explains the same thing over and over and over again, that I have separated myself from you just to increase and enrich and deepen your super excellent love, so that you can be in constant meditation upon me, so that you will see me always, everywhere, and in all things. So tonight, as Rasa Lila unfolded, according to its usual sequence of events, and then Krishna stole away Srimati Radharani, and they walked a long distance from Govardhan Hill to a beautiful mountain, Mount Rohita. And they ascended the mountain, which was exquisite, and came to a lake, Deva Sarovara, where they sat on a stone and were joking. And then Srimati Radharani saw on the distant shore an ascetic, old ascetic, standing on one leg, and she asked, "Who's that?" And Krishna said, "That's my devotee, Ribhu Muni, who's been standing on one leg in meditation upon me for 66,000 years." And then they called him Ribhu Muni, but he was so wrapped in meditation and absorbed with Krishna within his heart that he could not hear. So Krishna withdrew himself from his heart And he opened his eyes and saw Radha and Krishna before him. And he approached them and circumambulated and offered his prayers to Krishna as well as to Srimati Radharani, who he worshipped as Krishna's beloved. Which is different from the Vrijavasis, whose devotion is focused primarily upon her. And then Krishna granted him liberation, and he entered into the body of Krishna. And then Krishna said, Ribhumuni, come out. And he came out and appeared in a celestial form, just like Krishna. And Krishna embraced him and consoled him and comforted him as the sky lit up with a chariot descending from Goloka Vrindavan to pick him up and take him back home. When the mortal body he left behind melted and flowed as the beautiful river, Srimati asked Krishna, why did his body turn into a river? And he said, his heart melted in love for us, which flowed as a river, to forever beautify this mountain and proclaim the glories of bhakti. And then, tonight, when Krishna left Srimati Radharani, and she rejoined with the gopis, and they were singing his holy names and praying for him to return, he did not reappear. And when the sun mercilessly rose in the sky at dawn, the gopis searched the forest. Nanda searched the village. Mother Jashoda searched the village, the palace. The gopis searched the pasturing grounds. And they asked every bird, tree, creeper, the sun, the sky, have you seen Krishna? Where has he gone? Nobody would say, but everyone knew that he had left again. And then the Vrijavasis began to ponder, was it a dream that he returned to us and spent dawn and dusk with his parents, morning and afternoon with the gopas, midday and midnight with the gopis? Was it a dream that Krishna returned? Because before Kartik, this Kartik, they had always, if anyone had ever said anything about a Krura, they said, don't think about it. It was a bad dream. Krishna would never leave Vrindavan. But now, Krishna had left Vrindavan. Was it a dream he had returned? Or was it a dream that he'd ever left? Because with his departure, they felt his presence even more vividly within their hearts. And they were interacting with him more vividly than ever. And while they wondered, are we dreaming? Or is this hallucination? They came to realize the nature of Vipralambasev, service and separation. And they became more immersed in thoughts of Krishna, remembrance of his pastimes. And that sustained their lives. It also sustained Krishna's life as he lived in Mathura and later in Dwarka. His life was sustained by the pastimes that continued with the Brijabasis in the realm of Vipralambaseva. And Krishna's life was sustained by the love lavished upon him by the Brijabasis in their thoughts and remembrance and chanting of his pastimes, glories, and holiness. This is also the appearance day of Srimad Bhaktacharya, who was whose pastimes was told by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami on Navadvipa Parikrama when they came to Belpakur. And Lord Nityananda explained that this Belpakur of Nadia is Bilvavan of Braja. And in a bale forest on this island, a number of devotees of Lord Shiva worshipped him for a fortnight with his favorite gift of a bale leaf. After that period, Lord Shiva appeared to them and blessed them with Krishna Bhakti. And one of those devotees, who was very attentive and sincere in his worship, Lord Shiva took aside and told that in a bale forest on the edge of this village, your gurus, the four Kumaras, are waiting for you. So he went to the forest and he saw on a raised platform the four Kumaras, young, noble, and beautiful, wrapped in meditation. And then Bart shouted out, Hare Krishna! And the four Kumaras opened their eyes and saw before them the form of a perfect Vaishnava. And they ran and embraced him one by one. And Sanat Kumar told him that it is good that you have come to us. We have been waiting for you. Because the Supreme Lord, in his devotee form, seeing that the Kali Yuga would be very difficult and troublesome, empowered four men to come to this world to preach. Rama accepted Madhva in his line. Lakshmi accepted Ramanuj. Lord Shiva accepted Vishnuswami, and it is our great fortune to accept you. I will initiate you into the teachings of Sanat Kumar Samhita, which teaches the worship of Radha and Krishna. So Nimbark took his bath, returned. Sanat Kumar gave him initiation into the worship of Radha and Krishna, who appeared to him in that forest, illuminating the region with their effulgence. And they spoke. Nimbark, it is your great fortune to worship us in this land of Navadvip, because here we unite to become one in the son of Sachi. And as they spoke, Radha and Krishna took the form of Lord Rama. And Nimbarkacharya fell on the ground, crying, trembling, I've never seen such a form as this. What is the meaning? And Lord Gauranga explained to him that when I appear centuries later, I will accept two crucial items from each of the four sampradayas. From Brahma, I will accept worship of the deity as the absolute truth and strong philosophy to defeat Mayavadis. From Ramanuj, I will accept bhakti, untainted by karma and gyan, and service to the devotees. From Vishnuswami, I will accept bhava marg, an exclusive dependence on Krishna. And from you, I will accept two very important teachings. The high esteem for the gopis' service and sacrifice, and the necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And when I appear in this world, here in Navadvip, you will take birth again. In Kashmir. And when I am enjoying my triumphs of learning, you will be touring the country, defeating all pandits in every university town. As you approach Navadvip Dham, the pandits will flee, except for me, who will be so intoxicated in my pastimes of learning that I will take great delight in meeting you and defeating you. At which time, you will be so delighted that somebody could defeat you and still maintain and enrich your spirit of devotion. So now, go out and preach as Nimbarkacharya the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in which I delight so greatly, but don't speak about me until you enter into my pastimes as Keshava Kashmiri. Karti, the month which is named after Karti, is the daughter of Kartika, who is Kirtida, and everything in this month is meant for her pleasure. And as the mother of devotion, she overlooks our shortcomings, faults, and failings, and greatly magnifies whatever devotional service we have offered. During this month, we take pilgrimage, whether in sound or on earth, to the places which are decorated and imbued with the dust of her lotus feet. Because that's where Krishna is most near and dear and most complete. Where is Krishna most complete? In the form of Yogalokeshwar. So, when we worship the rope with which Mother Jashoda binds Damodar, that is a maternal reflection of the tighter knot tied by Srimati Radharani, and she binds Krishna with a delicate sash which adorns her slender waist. So as this month concludes, let not whatever we have gained be lost, but rather invested and enriched. And at this juncture between Kartik and Thanksgiving, remember the prayer of Lord Brahma. Tatenat kam sasamikshimano. O my Lord, those who patiently tolerate the miseries this life offers, all the while offering obeisances in gratitude unto your lotus feet. Have it already attained liberation of being the rightful claim. Thanksgiving celebrates that attitude of gratitude which unlocks the fullness of life, which alters our vision to see, to make sense of the past in peace with the present and vision for the future. Gratitude transforms a house to a home, a stranger to a friend, and it softens the heart to receive the mercy of Sri Krishna, which is evident as we develop the attitude of servant of the servant of the servant, and with gratitude express our good fortune by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments or anything?
It says, Maharaj, that the Brijabasis, they focus their devotion on Srimati Radharani. And I think it was the Brihu Muni. He was focusing on Krishna. Or?
Ribu Muni.
Rigu.
Ribu.
Ribu, okay. Ribu. So, but they do love Krishna, but the word you were describing, they were, you know. So what do you mean that they focus? They do, it almost seems like they do both. I don't know.
It's specifically the mood of the gopis.
It's specifically?
The mood of the gopis, because they know that no one can please Krishna as she does, and by assisting her in her devotion to Krishna, he is more pleased, because she takes our tiny offerings of devotion and magnifies them by her touch. As Srila Prabhupada said, she tells Krishna that this, please accept this devotee. He or she is better than me. And Krishna has to accept. So Krishna is more pleased by offerings made through her. And conversely, her mercy, Krishna's mercy, is enriched when it returns through her. We are tiny, insignificant jiva souls. What can we offer to Krishna, and how much of his mercy can we receive in return? Insignificant in every way. But when we approach her, she magnifies our offerings. It magnifies and directs his mercy towards us. And Krishna is more pleased with that approach. And that's why Lord Gauranga says, I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, nor Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I identify myself only as Gopi Bharta, Padakamalayar, Das, Das, Anu, Das. The servant of the servant of the servant of the one who can really please Krishna.
So that mood is amongst the gopis, as you said.
It predominant in them, but all the Brijabasis share that mood. It doesn't mean they're not serving Krishna directly. But it's through her. And as far as our approach of Krishna, towards Krishna, where is Krishna complete? Only with Radha is he complete. Mm-hmm. And where is Krishna surely to be found? Where there is Radha. Krishna is found.
Finally! I think we need to start again, Maharaj. Need to rewind.
Hmm?
Need to rewind.
We're just talking about Kartik and now he disappeared.
I heard that the program is over, Maharaj.
Repeat it tomorrow for you.